Yay.
Yay. Right. Okay, we're all set. Thank you for your patience.
No problem. All right, so first I feel moved just to say a quick big thank you to the folks who are on the Eastern Seaboard who joined us in Connecticut this last week. The people who were on retreat who were in the facilitators program helped a ton behind the scenes when everything happened. And we had planned to do it as a way of, it's such a nice way for facilitators to get extra training. And the truth of the matter is it saved me. Dan said to me, the end of the first night of the retreat, she said, you know, it's like, I don't know, 10-something, and we're just finishing a meeting. And she looks at me, she says, have you seen the message board? So it was just really, really fun, and I thought a good training opportunity for all of us to work in that way together. So I hope facilitators in general will keep coming on those nice big retreats, and you know, we'll bring you guys in behind the scenes because it's such a good training opportunity. So we're going to go straight to an exercise this evening. So you'll need a piece of paper and something to write with. I'll give people a minute to gather that. So I'm going to ask you a few questions, and I'll give you a chance after each one to write what you see about that, and then we'll talk about it. So the first question is, what is the current state of your personal practice, like what you practice every day on a day-to-day basis? Glowing, radiant health? Waiting for the ambulance? Somewhere in between? What's the current state of your day-to-day practice? Does that feel like enough time for the most part? Mm-hmm. Most people in this
yeah.
time, so I'm just using that as my question. Next question is, how do you know that? How do you know that? Next question is, what do the voices say about your practice? What does your heart say? What do the voices say about your practice? What does your heart say? Next one, what do you want in terms of your daily practice? What do you want in terms of your daily practice? And then the last one is, what is the relationship between your daily practice and facilitation? What's the relationship between your daily practice and facilitation? Okay, so I won't pause between them, but just for folks who may have joined us in the middle of the questions, I'll just read over each question one more time so that you'll have the context as we process. So the first question was, what is the current state of your personal practice, your day-to-day practice? And then the next one was, how do you know that? And then what do the voices say about your practice? And what does your heart say? And then what do you want in terms of your daily practice? And that last one, what is the relationship between your daily practice and facilitation? So I thought we might follow the format. It sounds like we used at least last week or sometime recently where one person facilitates a string of interactions and then we move on to the next facilitator. So who would like to start us off being our facilitator?
Yeah, this is Jeffrey. I can start.
Great, Jeffrey. So Jeffrey, you get to say, what did you notice?
What did people notice?
This is Phil. I'll start.
Great, Phil.
Well, I noticed that basically, you know, as far as the current state of my practice, I feel just so really, really grateful because I feel with the Practice Everywhere tools and, you know, all the stuff that's being offered and, I mean, everything, the books, because I use it all in my daily practice, that it's just, it feels like I am able to not only practice everywhere, but I'm aware that I'm practicing everywhere and all the time.
So you're aware you're practicing all the time. And you feel really, really grateful for all of the tools, and you use them all.
Yes. And so, and, you know, how I know that, you know, if I can know anything, that the practice feels, I guess, more towards the glowing health side is right now, is that one of the ways is that the sensations in my body, they feel, feel energetic and light, and so that's one way. And then I've been seeing lots of conditioning, you know, for what it is, and spending time taking care of, you know, the parts that are suffering from any of it, and that would be another part. And then being able to watch myself push, using, say, compassionate self-discipline, move through a lot of stuff, you know, move, just push through what conditioning says I can't do or whatever.
Yes. So your body feels light. You're seeing conditioning for what it is and taking care of the parts. And it sounds like using some compassionate self-discipline.
Yeah, I mean, that's the whole way I practice, is with this compassionate self-discipline. And so it's easy to know when my body's not light and energetic what's going on, and then being able to take care of it with the compassion and the, you know, acknowledge, accept, embrace them, let go, come back to the breath. And, you know, what the voices say about my practice is the same old song, is that it's never enough and I'm not doing it good enough and like that. But what my heart doesn't say very much, but it just feels so grateful. My heart just feels so grateful and feels so blessed.
So the voices say the same old song, and your heart doesn't say much, but it feels blessed.
It feels, yeah, full of gratitude and very blessed. And, you know, what I want in the terms of my daily practice is just what I'm doing and more of it. And my I think the relationship between my daily practice and facilitation is facilitation's one of the best tools. Self-facilitation, always, you know, in a sense, facilitating myself. And then also if I'm on the cushion, you know, it's just catapults me back to center. Just giving myself, when it's self-facilitation, that attention and love that those parts need at any given moment. And when I'm on the cushion, just feel the love and gratitude for Sangha and everything that's, you know, around. So that's kind of basically it.
You feel love and gratitude for everything around when you're facilitating, when you're on the cushion. You're catapulted to center.
Yeah, or if it's self-facilitation, then just that same thing, yeah. And the parts feel that gratitude also when they're being acknowledged and embraced and all that, you know?
So
I'm just so grateful for all we have and all we've been given and my willingness to, you know, to keep partaking of it.
Yes, grateful for your willingness to keep partaking of it.
Thank you.
Thank you. Who else?
This is Rebecca.
Hello, Rebecca.
Hey. I just wanted to share one interesting thing I noticed about this exercise was that where I looked to find out how my practice was going was I looked to what I do. I did not look to how I was feeling, and I thought that was really interesting.
So you noticed you looked to what you do and not to how you were feeling for information about your practice. Yeah.
Because I would have had really different answers. Because I haven't been feeling actually all that centered or great lately, but I keep doing practice. I have lots, you know, lots of different things that I participate in, and I liked. I felt like that was a good place to look, and I guess the other thing that I got to hear from doing this exercise was what I want from my practice. What came up for me was kindness, more celebration of it, and appreciation.
What came up was kindness, more appreciation, and celebration when you looked at what you want for your practice.
Yeah. So that felt really good to be able to see that, and I'm going to take that to heart, look for ways to give myself that.
So you're going to look for ways to give yourself that.
Yeah.
And do you have some ideas?
I appreciate that question. Let me see what comes up. Well, the first thing that came up was posters that just say, thank you for practicing, or just some real nice thank you Rebecca posters. And then now that I'm saying that too, I can also put something on my recording that says that. It really expresses a lot of gratitude to this person who's doing this.
So posters and something on your recording that expresses gratitude to the person who's doing this.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you.
This is Claire.
Hello, Claire.
With the first question, what is the current state of my practice, I realized that what immediately came to me was that I could do better and that what I was doing was not good enough.
Go ahead.
So then with the next question, with how do you know that, it became really much clearer to me that there's conditioning knows that by making comparisons with other people and tells me that I could be doing better.
So you notice that conditioning is using comparison about how you can do better, the information about how you can do better.
Yeah, and then I also noticed that there was another part of me that sees how I suffer and wants me to to work with that. And so that part of me wants to support me from to do more, but from a completely different place.
So that part wants you to do more, but from a completely different place. And you mean different than what conditioning was telling you?
Yeah, exactly. I had a strong sense of me that from my conditioning, the voice who was saying to me that whatever I do, it's never good enough. It's never enough. And then there's another part of me that says that then what my heart says is that, you know, I'm doing a good job, I'm doing great, and there's maybe room for working a little more so that I can see how I suffer and let that go.
So the heart says maybe there's room to do a little bit more and see how you suffer and let that go.
Mm-hmm. And what would be helpful for me would be to have more of a schedule and a checklist around some of the practice opportunities that I do for myself.
So a schedule and a checklist around some of the opportunities.
Yeah, and the relationship between practice and facilitation for me is that they're both mutually supportive.
So the relationship between your practice and facilitation, is that they're mutually supportive?
Right.
Is that what you said?
That's right. Thank you, Jeffrey.
Thank you.
Should we move on to another facilitator?
Great.
Let's jump up next to the facilitator. I'll facilitate. This is Cameron. Okay, Cameron. And then was that Penny coming forward to speak?
Yeah. What I just wanted to say in terms of the current state of personal practice, what I catch myself doing practically is kind of coasting. And just in the last couple of weeks, I've just noticed myself kind of leaning into some challenges, and that it's, you know, some sort of edges that. The way I'm experiencing it is kind of leaning into them and challenging them a little bit instead of just kind of staying within those boundaries, which is I just find interesting. I mean, it's kind of fun.
Mm-hmm. You describe your practice as feeling a little bit like you were for a time coasting, and you realize now that you're having some challenges that you feel like feels a little bit more like you're leaning into those challenges as opposed to just coasting.
Yeah, and so when, you know, the question about how do you know that, I mean, it's interesting because what the experience is of literally is it's like a bodily experience of leaning into rather than kind of hanging back from. And that's how I know it. I mean, it's almost a physical thing.
How you know that, it feels almost physical that you actually feel yourself kind of, you know, physically leaning into the challenges that you're experiencing as opposed to kind of holding back from them.
Yeah. And then the only other thing I wanted to particularly address was what do you want in terms of your daily practice? And what I look at with that is it's easy for me to think about practice in terms of the sort of explicitly practice things we do. And what I want in terms of my daily practice is that practice is what I do no matter where I am. You know, it isn't just tweets and transform your life and meditation, but it just that practicing is what I do, you know, driving the car and going to meetings and all of that, and I can you know, in response to that question, the first thing that came to mind was the practice things I'm doing, and then I thought no, but you know, I would like practice to be how I do life.
Yeah, so instead of feeling like you want to focus on discrete things that are specifically practice, you would like to feel that everything, every aspect of your life is a form of practice in your daily life, like even driving a car or just your day-to-day activities are forms of practice.
Yeah, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
This is Anna.
Hi, Anna.
Hi. So this exercise was really, I feel like it was really helpful. So one of the things I've been looking at in the past week is conditioning has this kind of campaign going that practice isn't working and I'm not practicing and I should be practicing more and about to make this big slide into the conditioned mind world. Mm. And what I've noticed in the past week is I was consciously checking in regularly during the day and keeping score. And what I noticed in that was that actually I am a lot of times in a place where I would call a practice place, a place where I'm, you know, really consciously doing what it is that I'm doing. And so when I was, you know, and when I realized that earlier this week, it was like a really an aha moment.
Mm-hmm.
And
so you've been feeling kind of like you're beginning to take a slide into believing some of the stories that conditioning is putting forth about you not really practicing and that. And you did kind of a check-in, a periodic check-in period, and found out that conditioning was lying to you, surprise, surprise, but that you were actually being consciously doing what you were doing and what you were doing felt like practice when you looked to see what you were actually doing.
Yeah, and so when I went to look today on the current state of my personal practice, what was coming up for me were words like integration and building strength and changing shape, and I feel like that's actually what's going on with my current practice. It feels really good to be able to see that.
Uh-huh. So when you looked, you saw integration, and I didn't actually hear one of the things, but there were a couple of things that you actually could identify as the kind of the way your practice is going right now, and you felt good about what you were able to see in that.
Yeah, and when I was looking to see, you know, what the voices say, I think it's really helpful to see, you know, what the voices are saying about my practice and probably will always say about my practice. And then when I was looking to see what my heart was saying, my heart was saying, you know, thank you.
Uh-huh.
And it was just open, and it felt very, just felt really, I think somebody else used the word gratitude, and I would say that those are the words that were coming up for that.
Uh-huh. So you saw what the voices say is what they always say and what they probably always will continue to say. And when you look to your voice, to your heart, what you saw was something akin to just gratitude.
Yeah, and then when I was looking to see what I want in terms of my daily practice, you know, there was a list of things, but it was, I think the common theme was, like, things that I need to show up for. Are things that I'm, you know, the willingness to show up for those things, or the things that I'm willing to show up for, things like reminders of what it is that I'm doing.
So what you want in your daily practice is reminders of what you're doing, and things that you have to show up for, and the willingness to show up for the things during the day.
Yeah, which I think feel like are all related, because
mm-hmm.
the more I have to show up for, the more I'm kind of clued into what's actually going on with me, in which case it kind of builds the willingness for me to show up for the next thing. Yeah.
So as you're required to be there for the check-ins, you find yourself more willing and more motivated to be there for the next thing, because you're enjoying being there, it sounds like.
Yeah. Yeah, so this is really helpful to see, and thank you.
Mm-hmm. This is Marie.
Hi, Marie.
Hi. There was one thing that kind of stuck out for me, because I was looking at this actually early this morning. I've had a good bit of challenge this year, and kind of a piece of karma has been up, and it's been quite challenging.
Mm-hmm.
And the voices have a lot to say about that.
Mm-hmm. So you've had a big piece of karma that's really been challenging you, and the voices have a lot to say about that.
Yeah, and you know, I've been trying to really notice, and so there's a lot of commentary about that I, if my practice was better, I wouldn't have a challenge like this. You know, just lots and lots to say about it,
uh-huh.
What it means about me. You know, there's been a lot of suffering in that.
Mm-hmm. So if your practice was better, you wouldn't be having the challenge that you're having. And it's saying something about you and your practice that this karmic challenge is before you.
Yeah. And early this morning I was reading that Way of Transformation, and you know, it's the thing about risking annihilation, and that, you know, our path is not one to just focus away from the things that disturb us. And
mm-hmm.
I read it and I thought, that's exactly what I'm doing. That describes exactly what's going on for me right now.
So here was this thing that you had available to read, and it spoke right to what's going on for you about that in practice ours, it's not to avoid the what seems like the annihilation.
Yeah, and it was just I don't know, because a real heart-opening, expanded experience this morning of, you know, just realizing this is practice.
Uh-huh. It was very heartwarming to, heart-opening, excuse me, to realize that instead of what conditioning is telling you, that this is not practice, and if you were practicing, it wouldn't be happening, that it is practice. And, you know, you're there.
Yeah.
Oh,
and so I'm wearing this quote card from Sherry. This is one of Sherry's quotes. It says, if we believe that every time we are unhappy, we must not be doing spiritual practice right, ego has us in its grip.
Whoa, wow. Mm-hmm. If we believe...
It's been so interesting how many things, you know, there's been, because I read that Way of Transformation, and then I read the Trying to Be Human for next week, which is really, really great. You know, it's just about, you know, we're not here to try to get externals,
uh-huh.
try to get life try to be happy through externals. We're really trying to work with the parts of us, you know, that can be disturbed. And
So... if your heart is speaking to you through various timely pieces of information that are coming to your attention, it sounds like.
Yeah. And so the other thing I wanted to say about it is it's though this year has been very challenging, I've felt really inspired to practice. And so in some ways it seems like it's been a really difficult, awful year, but in some ways it feels like it's really strengthened my practice in a lot of ways.
Mm-hmm. In spite of it feeling challenging, and the comments about what that means about your practice, it has felt like it's really deepened your practice, and it's been a good year in that respect.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So thanks a lot, Cameron.
Mm-hmm.
This is Jan.
Should we go to another facilitator?
This is Mickey.
Mickey, you want to facilitate?
I do.
Okay, great. Sounds like Jan's up.
Yep.
Jan?
Hi, Mickey.
Hi.
Well, what I've just really appreciated all that's been shared, because it just helped me see even more in my responses. And the first two questions just brought up, it was the same as I think it was Rebecca mentioned, that what I looked at for myself in the first question was, what do I do? And then when the second question came up, it was, I thought, you know, actually in my daily life, what I look at is how I, you know, I'm looking at my feelings, my thoughts, what's going on, and that keeps me present, just paying attention to that. So it's interesting that with the question, I looked at what I do, but because of practice, life is right now, my practice is more of looking to what's going on. So that was really helpful to see.
When you answered the first question, you found yourself looking at what you do. But the second question, you saw that really where you look during your day is to what's going on and how you're feeling and what you're thinking. So it was very interesting for you to see the difference between those two. And you really appreciated hearing what other people have been saying because it's given you more insights as you've been listening.
Yeah, and I, within that, I got to see also that as I become, as I practice with looking at feelings, thoughts, and body sensations, I'm able from that to be, well, because of that, I'm available to myself to facilitate myself, to be there for myself, to take care of the needs. And it just, what came to me in the last question of what the relationship is between daily practice and facilitating it, it seems like that from that experience with self, that it sort of just overflows into all facilitation. You know, whether it's with ourself or another person, reflective listening group. And I guess I just, I don't know, I have tremendous appreciation and gratitude and sort of awe at how facilitation is so much the giving and receiving. I just am getting that through these questions, and it's just, I don't know, lately that just keeps coming up over and over again.
So you really have had a lot of awe and gratitude for how facilitation is the giving and receiving. And you've seen that as you, in your day, are more aware of your feelings and thoughts and sensations, that just leads you into being available for facilitating yourself, and that just seems to spill over into facilitating yourself and others and everything.
Yeah, and well, I guess what others have said, it's just, conditioning can't believe that it's gone this far. That's what I keep noticing, is that, you know, conditioning always says it's never enough. It doesn't matter what it is. I practice anything in life, whatever is done, it's not enough. And so, it's just going, conditioning's just going a little bit crazy right now, because there is this realization from the heart of what of the results of practice, and I guess, you know, it's comical to see at times, and other times it's, you know, diverting the slam from conditioning, I guess, is another way to say it.
So from your heart, you really are seeing how much you have and how much is available, and conditioning really can't believe how far it's gone. And,
yep.
Yeah,
thank you.
Thank you, Jan.
This is
Andrea here.
Let's see, I heard Andrea and somebody else. Why don't we do Andrea? I think actually there were two others I heard, so I'll do Andrea, and then if those two I didn't hear, jump in afterwards. Hey, Andrea.
Hi. Well, this has been helpful for me. What came up for me with practice is the daily practice seems like my heart feels like it's really enough, and like I'm really doing what's good for me, and I feel really good. What I hear the voices saying is kind of similar. It's basically the thing I always hear in my life is I'm not doing it right. So
go ahead.
It's kind of hard to it's like my heart, I think my heart really feels satisfied with what, I mean, it feels really good, and also there's this desire
I think, to do more. But what I see is that conditioning is kind of can come in both sides and start a conversation about either that I don't have time to do more or that I should be doing more.
So your heart is feeling really good about what you're doing and how you're doing, and it says that, you know, there is more you could do, but it feels really good about how things are. And conditioning has messages. One is a sort of a usual message about how you can never do it right, but also about how you really could be doing more, and also how you really don't have time to do any more.
Yeah, and I guess if I get involved in that conversation, it's just pretty confusing. I was just noticing it here in that I was hearing all these people participating, and I could just hear this voice kind of draining me away and trying to kind of sink the air out of my sail, you know, like deflate me. And it was just saying, well, you know, there's no point in participating because so many other people, you know, are on the ball, and it doesn't matter. You know, no one will notice, and, you know, so basically trying to take me out of participating.
Yeah, so the voice comes in to deflate you and to keep you from participating, and it says things like, you know, all these other people are, you know, so involved and so participating, and, you know, they wouldn't even notice if I was or not, and sounds like really trying to keep you separate.
Yeah, I think get me separate and then get me stuck alone with it, and then basically what I've been finding is that when I'm doing the practice by myself, like meditating, I meditate every day and I listen to the radio show, and conditioning doesn't seem to really be coming up that much, but it's when I try to participate in groups with other people in the practice that conditioning really gets really strong and tries to prevent me from doing that.
So conditioning gets really strong when you are attempting to participate in group or with other people, and it gets really strong, and it kind of leaves you alone a bit when you're just doing something on your own, like meditating or listening to the radio show.
Yeah, and I mean, meditating and listening to the radio show, you know, it feels really good, and it also, I guess maybe it's not as threatening to conditioning for some reason. Maybe I've just been doing it for so long that conditioning's given up. I don't know, but it's definitely out of my comfort zone or out of conditioning's comfort zone to participate in a more like active way with other people.
So it's out of conditioning's comfort zone to participate in a more active way with other people.
Yeah. So that's what I'm noticing.
Thank you, Andrea.
Yeah, thanks.
Okay, who else was out there that was trying to jump in before?
Well, this is Karen.
Karen.
Yeah. Well, I one of the things that's been happening in my life is that everything else in my life is getting scheduled around my spiritual practice, it seems like. And that it's spiritual practice has just become the priority, pretty much. And so the voices just really have a lot to say about that. Like I've gone way too far. I'm just way too involved, and they just really have a time. They really have a time with that. And then I've had some external feedback in my life, you know, not from internally, and that sometimes says that same thing to me.
So you're finding that that it's really practice increasingly that your life is organized around and has become the priority, and voices from inside you, and it sounds like also to some degree external to you, are saying things like, you know, it's really too much and you've gone too far.
Yeah. And so what the heart says is that, well, of course, none of that is true, and you know, there can never be too much presence, and there can never be too much kindness, and, you know, there can never be too much of all the good stuff. And, yeah.
Yeah, so your heart says none of that is true, and there can never be too much presence and too much kindness.
Yeah, and so what I want in terms of my daily practice, because I do a lot, but I still get a little sense of tiptoeing around a little bit, and so I just want it out there, and it, I mean, I think it is out there. I actually think this is really old, but that this is my priority, and that you know, for the people in my life that are important to me, that just because this is my priority, it doesn't mean that I love them any less or care about them any less than I ever have.
So you really want it out there that this is your priority. And for the people in your life, you want them to know that this doesn't mean that you love them any less, but that it is your priority. And I think you said earlier that you are doing a lot and sometimes have the sense maybe that you're tiptoeing around a bit, and it sounds like you want to be really clear about what your priority is.
Yeah. And it's almost like, I mean, I would add, it's almost like this practice allows me to love them more. And, it's just all the good stuff in relationships and everything. And so it just seems like it benefits. I mean, if anything, it just benefits my entire life.
Yeah, so it seems like the practice benefits your entire life, and it allows you to love these people even more, and that there just can't be enough of the good stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, and then just lastly, I want to say the relationship between my daily practice and facilitation, it just seems like if I want to facilitate, and if I am going to facilitate, that it has to be a priority in my life. That I have to. That it just doesn't seem like it will work any other way. Or it's I guess my experience. Is that I have to have all this practice in place and kind of ongoing all the time.
So your experience is that if you are going to facilitate and you are going to participate in this way, that you really have to make practice a priority, and that you really have to make the time for the things that you do to practice.
Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you, Karen.
Maybe we could do one more facilitator and one more person being facilitated.
I'll facilitate. This is Andrea.
Janet.
Andrea, and then Janet, you're offering to talk?
No, I was offering to facilitate.
Okay. Someone want to share? Oh, we got Michael here.
Hi, this is Michael.
Oh, I thought Andrea was facilitating. Am I facilitating?
Oh, okay.
I think Andrea.
I'll facilitate. I just didn't know who was doing it, so.
I think Andrea.
Hi, this is Andrea.
Hi. Okay. Let's see. I'm looking at my relationship, the relationship between my daily practice and facilitation. And there are a couple aspects of it. And one is that, what they are is one is it's something I do. So I do it every once in a while, and I do it regularly with a self-facilitation practice. And, even as I'm talking, I'm realizing that it's helpful to my practice because especially the self-facilitation, because it's an opportunity to process what's going on and to so that things can move through.
So you're looking at facilitation and your practice, and you're doing a lot of self-facilitation, and you're noticing that it's helpful to process things that are moving through, and noticing right now that it's helpful to be talking about all this.
Yeah, and the other part of it was that I hate it. Hate facilitating. And that happens in two ways. One is somewhat, so I've made for myself a weekly commitment. So it's like my parents made me go to swim class. So there's that hating it, like the guy who just, he would do anything to get out of it and doesn't want to do it because it's like that. And the other is I don't know where it's coming from, but it's just like, just someone doesn't want to do it, doesn't want to volunteer on these calls, doesn't want to be, doesn't want to facilitate in with groups of people, and so yeah.
And you're noticing that you need to do it, and at the same time there's thinking about when your parents drag you to swim class, there's someone who really doesn't want to do it and doesn't want to be participating on the calls and facilitating with other people.
Yeah. And so I have experiences of where
I'm having trouble hearing you.
Can you hear me now?
Yes, I can hear you much better.
Okay. Yeah. So, I don't know what to make of that, other than maybe it's just what's going on that. Someone doesn't want to facilitate and really doesn't want to do this, and it doesn't really, a good perspective might be, it doesn't have anything to do with me. It doesn't have to influence my decision. And it has.
You're noticing that that you're hearing this conversation that I don't want to do this, yet it doesn't necessarily have to do with you at all, and it doesn't really have to influence what you do, and in fact it's not.
Yeah, exactly. And it's not what, like it used to be. It used to be like when I was asked to facilitate, and it could be like this, but I would draft notes explaining that I could no longer be at the monastery. Thanks for having me. And sleep them and then take them off and facilitate like that. So, it was rough.
Yeah, you're remembering in the past how it used to be that you were writing notes that were basically saying, I can't do this, and thanks for having me at the monastery.
Yeah. And what I just saw in that is that that's the way swim lessons were when I was writing. Because I ended up being on the swim team for like 5 years. So being a really good... So that's interesting to see, too.
Yeah, so noticing that it's very similar to what happened with swim class, where you heard the conversation about not going to swim class, but then seeing that you were actually on the team for 5 years.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, thanks.
All right, time's up.
Hey, Jen. Excuse me. Would it be all right if I asked if anybody came in late and would like to have their name on the roster? Okay. Did anybody come in after we took roll and would like to announce themselves?
Yeah, this is Jen. I came in late.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
I guess that's it then.
I guess we just need to end the recording then, huh?
Yes, I can do that.
All right. Thanks, everyone.